He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That is right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this November 6th Thursday afternoon here at 3 o'clock. Just a couple minutes past the top of the hour here as we are live from Fashion Furniture, live here on this wonderful Thursday. Thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D's show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D. You can listen to it live on 2 to 3 p.m. on 1430 ESPNFresno.com website and 1430 ESPN Fresno app as well. Like I said, we're here, our show, Behind the Bench, for 2 hours today before we send it off to Thursday Night Football to Denver. That's right, the Raiders taking on the Broncos tonight. Classic AFC West matchup between those two teams should be a lot of fun. Live here on these Thursdays, as we always are, from Fashion Furniture. It's the Black Friday clearance as continues at Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's. Fashion has hundreds of items up to 70% off, plus 100 dining room sets discounted for immediate delivery. Sleep Retreat inside Fashion Furniture has closeout mattresses at 50% off and foundations at 50% off. Adjustable bases starting at $299 and free if you buy a Beautyrest black mattress, plus up to 24 months free financing. Be sure to stop by the Black Friday clearance event right here at Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's today. We are streaming live on the YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch over there. Hello to our YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook audience on ESPN Fresno if you want to watch the show. Like I said, we're here at Fashion Furniture. Big thanks to me and Ed's for providing the pizza as well over here as well. If you want to come and watch the show or listen to the show, you got a couple hours to enjoy some pizza, some refreshment, and some sports talk here, like I said, on this Thursday. It is the Lee's Air Hotline. If you want to reach us, the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Once again, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. If you want to get in on the conversation, call, let me know what's up in your world, in your sports world today. So that's what we're looking forward to there. Looking forward to all the different things we're going to be talking about. One more other thing before we get to it, though. It is the Lee's Air Weather Check at 71 degrees as we speak right now. 71 degrees in Fresno. A low of 55. Going to be about 71 tomorrow and sunny. Should be relatively autumn weather for high school football starting tomorrow. Some playing tonight as well. So everybody getting basically the same conditions everywhere here in the Central Valley. Nothing like what we may be facing next weekend. Folks, we may see some potential rain, some cold temperatures Friday, Saturday, including the game day between Fresno State and Wyoming. I'm just kind of projecting here in terms of the Saturday. Might be more on the morning side as well as that. Could clear up by the time kickoff gets going, but it will be chilly. 60 degrees is the high for next weekend. But we're here. We're feeling a little bit better as far as the temperatures are today. And good to be talking all kinds of different sports here today. What do we got on the docket for you today? Like I said, 2 hours of sports talk for you coming right at you. Coming up in a little bit, 10 minutes from now, we're going to have my Student Athlete of the Week interview. We have from Clovis North, J.R. Cruz, outstanding season as a sophomore running back position. Him and his coach, Colby Hunter, joined me earlier this week. We actually interviewed them yesterday, and we're airing this interview for the first time today. They, of course, we usually do our Student Athlete of the Week interviews on this day here at Fashion Furniture, but folks, They have a game to get to tonight, a very important playoff game in the Class 1 AA playoffs as they take on Buchanan. So, yeah, we'd expect them to focus that on a little bit more. So, but we were gracious that they were able to coordinate that with us and get them to participate in our Student Athlete of the Week interview this week. So we have that for you. And later in the show, we'll talk some Fresno State. We'll talk Benatti Blitz as well. We're going to pick the games of the NFL slate today because we only have an hour tomorrow. We're going to be predominantly focusing on the high school side of things, maybe some other aspects of what's coming up in the sports weekend. We only got the hour tomorrow because, of course, we got to get over to Dinuba for the big playoff game between Kingsburg and Dinuba, which we will be broadcasting, myself and Paul Metters, pregame starting at 6:30. And the kickoff is at 7 p.m. So that's all of your house cleaning, keeping items for the start of the show. It's good to be here. And let me bring in the first guy I got here with back in the studio right now. Jorge is back in the studio producing for us for the next couple of hours. Jorge, how are you doing on this Thursday afternoon?
Hey there, Phil. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm enjoying this nice weather out here.
Enjoying the nice weather for now, and then we could get to some pretty heavy rain by the next week, by this time next week. But I'm wearing the shorts. I'm wearing the T-shirt. I feel like when I'm doing this in November, I really feel like I'm in California back here in terms of that. So I'm really enjoying that. We got Daniel to my left here, stage right, if you're looking at the stream. Daniel, how are we doing on this Thursday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just a little tired because I had to wake up for class this morning.
Oh, man. The dreaded wake up for class.
Mm.
you have class yesterday? Was it hard to get out of bed yesterday with all the rain yesterday?
It was, actually. It really was. I woke up for my first class because I was like, you know what? I really need to be there. But then I was like, my friend texted me because he's in my other class, my history class. He's like, I'm not showing up today. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going either.
I feel that. Let me tell you, I'd be lying if I didn't have that thought come across my head in terms of being a student. I'll tell you this, and I'm going to admit it right now, and I know my parents are listening. My attendance was not 100% in college. Jorge, I'm sure you had a 100% attendance rate, right, in college? You didn't miss a class, right? You were always there.
You know what? My first semester, yes. Then I realized, like, I didn't have to be there all the time, and I'm like, all right.
It's like once you skip, you can't stop.
We're back. Now, well, that's the dangerous road. Now, once you do it, then you feel like you can do it forever, and the teachers are noticing in terms of that. Mm-hmm. Always strategic where I was in terms of my ability. But some people always argue, why are you skipping class? You're paying for it. You're literally paying for it, and you're getting, whatever.
Yeah.
Go to class, folks. Go to class. Just stay in school. team that needed to go to class last night in terms of the way they were playing was Fresno State basketball last night. I would say that is not what was drawn up in terms of what our expectations were when USC Upstate, who I think, Daniel, have you ever heard of USC Upstate?
I never heard of USC Upstate prior to you telling me.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Jorge, you didn't know there was another USC, let alone a USC Upstate that existed up until yesterday, right?
I mean, you heard of, South Carolina University or,
yeah, there's South Carolina.
Dinkos,
they're not
and
they're
all
not
that stuff, but, like, I heard of other USCs but never Upstate. So when you said Upstate, I was like, "But what is this?"
Yeah,
I was a little bit thrown off.
Well, what if I told you, Jorge, they were paid $100,000 to come play us last night, right?
Wow,
Fresno State giving $100,000 to USC Upstate to come play us, and what do we get back in return on our $100,000 investment? A 1-point loss. At home at the Save Mart Center in front of just over 2,200 people in the Save Mart Center. Folks, that's just not where it should be right now in terms of that. And it was a frustrating game last night. The Bulldogs were up. They were up 11 by the first half. And really, It was an interesting game in terms of where the flow was with this Bulldog side, because it felt like they really controlled the game for the most part through that first half. And then second half gets going, and Upstate starts attacking the interior, and they're just nickel and diming through it. Bulldogs are just having struggles in terms of driving the basketball, especially on fast breaks, losing the basketball here and there, and leading to turnovers. You want to hear the turnover mark. I wonder if it's a high one in terms of it. The Bulldogs, well, you know, only 12 turnovers, but it felt like a lot more in terms of the grand scheme of things from that side. But Bulldogs are struggling to get production from multiple positions in terms of it. I thought Wilson Jocks, you know, I'm not pointing the finger to many guys, but only 4 points on the interior inside. 22 for 62 shooting is as rough as it gets from the floor, I would imagine. 7 for 30 is not the clip you want as well in terms of it. And it's a frustrating night. The Bulldogs just lack of ability to make baskets when they needed to, especially down the stretch. The clutch ability was just not there. And I think Vance and them, they really got to work some things out in terms of what this team is going to look like moving forward. Just looking at points in the paint, Jorge, they shot 31% in the paint last night. 31% in the 4 for 13. We're not counting the shots in the bucket, though, like by the bucket. They were 10 for 18 on the layup side of things. But regardless, 31% in the key is just not it in terms of it. Not a single only one two-point shot outside the key, by the way, for Fresno State last night. And I know the math tells you three-pointers are inside. That's all where the offense is. But maybe there's some discrepancies there in terms of it. But Jorge, when you hear 31%, Daniel, you reacted to it already. When you hear 31% in the key, Jorge, when you're 4 for 13 inside the key, that's got a cause for concern, right?
That's an F. That's an F for sure.
Yeah.
I would have failed there. But I think it's still early. I think it's a preseason game a preseason game basically. So, yeah. You know, it's hard to gauge a preseason game, but
this is the one you need to win, though, right, Jorge?
Yeah.
This is the one that they should win. This is because where do we go next, right? I would imagine the Fresno State's going to be underdogs the next few games here. Long Beach State coming into town, UC San Diego following that was a tournament team last year, right? And then after that, New Orleans. I don't know, I feel like that's a coin flip in terms of it. And then Stephen F. Austin, I know they've had a couple tournament runs as a team in the last few years, and so Stephen F. Austin's coming in right after that. There are teams that are coming in that are more capable than what USC Upstate is, and if the Bulldogs play like they did last night, I don't know where a win is coming from this team, who already is coming off of a six-win season last year. Like, where are the improvements coming from? I know they were missing a couple pieces, and it's going to be a tall order to see. I don't think 22 for 62 last night is completely repeatable. It can't be. That's not acceptable, and I know Coach Vance Wahlberg will be the first one to tell you on that, but it's about finding the guys in the situations that need to be placed in situations where they're ready to show up and prove themselves. I mean, Zan Collins, I don't know, the three-point ability. He had a couple air balls from three-point range last night on pull-ups. I just kind of shake my head at that in terms of it. it seemed like execution down the stretch. Players were looking for contact inside instead of just actually going up strong and just finishing. Don't look for the contact. I think stop looking for the call. I think the Bulldogs needed to just play basketball and let the contact come to them in terms of that. All kinds of different frustrating things last night from what I described. And when you hear me talk about this and my experience last night, which, by the way, it was in front of 2,000 fans, and it didn't really feel like it. I mean, there were sections, quote, sections empty.
Oh, wow.
Last night in a basketball game. That's the most disappointing part, I would say, as well.
More people at a graduation ceremony?
plenty more in terms of that. I don't know if it would have filled San Joaquin Memorial's gym last night in terms of how many people were. And that's no knock on San Joaquin Memorial. They got a nice gym. But I'm just saying, last night's attendance was just not it.
in terms of it. I don't know what changes, but losing last night to a team you paid $100,000 to is not going to get it done, and that's that. It is what it is. It is what it is, and I think there's a lot of frustration still rooted from this program. It is. I mean, Jorge, we are at a. I mean, we're. I hate to sound the alarm after two games, but I mean, I don't know where you can get the public idea of getting people on board and supporting this group when it is just no end in sight in terms of where it could come from. I don't know. I think there's some guys. There's some guys that are out there that can execute a lot better. But I'm not feeling great. That's all I'm saying. I'm not feeling great after last night. So.
No, I get it. I get it. I see the optics of it and everything. But quite frank, I think it let's just leave it a little more time. Let's see how they play the next game. And if that continues, then, you know, we have a problem. That's yeah. For real. We have a problem. But I feel like let's give it a little more time. Let's see how they progress.
Yeah, I actually want to see – What are we favored in? Saturday, looking at it, there's no line for Long Beach State versus Fresno State. Long Beach is coming off of a, let's see if my math is right, 32-point loss at San Diego State. Seems pretty run for the mill in terms of that. So we'll see where Long Beach State comes out after that. Hey, the narrative changes a little bit if you beat Long Beach, certainly. And then you're back to 2-1. So Bulldogs got to make up the difference here. And they were good at home last year. They were competitive last year at home. So it's not like they can't do anything different here in terms of that. But we need to see more, especially last night. That was disappointing down the stretch. Just more of the same in terms of that. And we'll see. We'll see where it all plays out from here. All right. When we take a break, we'll come back with more of our show next here on 1430 ESPN. We're going to have our Student Athlete of the Week interview next on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We have our Student Athlete of the Week interview now coming up here. It's J.R. Cruz and Colby Hunter of Clovis North Football. J.R. Cruz is our Student Athlete of the Week. Phenomenal week last week. We'll go over the numbers in your interview you're about to hear. We're airing it right now. They interviewed us yesterday. You're going to hear them talk about tonight's game, and I think you'll understand why, because the game is tonight between Clovis North and Buchanan. So, by the way, a little reminder, just make sure you nominate your Student Athlete of the Week today. In terms of that, we'll get you into the nomination process for you folks. So go to our website, 1430ESPNFresno.com, to nominate today. All right, here's our interview for Student Athlete of the Week, J.R. Cruz of Clovis North Football. All right, we're now doing our Student Athlete of the Week interview for this week. It's a phenomenal one for the local side, including a pair of Broncos that will be joining us here on the show today. We've got J.R. Cruz and we've got Coach Colby Hunter on the air as well over on the phone line. J.R. is with me in person here. Guys, appreciate it to be on the show. Congratulations, J.R. I'll start with you. Congrats on being named our ESPN Student Athlete of the Week.
Thank you so much for having me on this show, and just thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting to talk about your season. It's exciting to talk about your accomplishments so far this year. And of course, you guys get a game coming up as people are hearing this tonight. Coach on the line as well. Coach, exciting to talk about JR and his performance, not just last week, but over the season. But how are you doing on this this afternoon? And I'm sure you're excited to be playing playoff football and have JR as your as one of your guys that are going to be going into battle against Buchanan.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you know, it's a new season with the playoffs coming up here, and tonight we're going to have a big game against Buchanan, and we're excited. And obviously, JR's contributions to that have been nothing short of amazing as a sophomore, and our O-line, who's carried a lot of great tradition here at Clovis North. And so we're excited. We know there's a big task at hand and made a lot of adjustments to move forward. And so we're very, very excited about the opportunity.
Absolutely. And let's talk about, obviously, the performance that we've seen specifically in last week's game. And JR, I'll go to you here. You know, 29 carries, 243 on the ground, three touchdowns in a, I would say, you know, for you guys, it felt like just one of those games you needed to have going into the momentum of the playoffs of beating Clovis East last week. First of all, JR, almost 30 carries in this game. They called your number a lot. What is it like in a game like that when you know you're going to be the guy who's going to be carrying the ball a lot for this team?
Well, honestly, just Coach Hunter just be able to trust me with the ball in the hands with a great task with, you know, having to carry the rock with my O-line just helping me get through the quarters and half. And so, yeah, it was great, honestly, for Coach Hunter to be able to trust me forward with the game.
Certainly, and it's important to have a guy you can trust like that, Coach. I imagine it's important to have a guy who you can carry and say, hey, you can carry the ball 30-plus times for me potentially in a game like this in a game you want a victory here for. Coach, what is that like to know you had JR in that game and the way he was kind of rolling throughout the afternoon and evening with that game against Clovis East?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a sophomore, right? And so what a blessing to have as a coach for a young man that has probably even better years ahead of him, and what he's accomplished already has been absolutely amazing. And he's such a tough young man. 30 carries, it doesn't ever seem like it when he's carrying the ball. At rep 25 or 26, he seems to get stronger as the game goes. And, you know, he's a tough kid. He's a wrestler, right? And so he's got the grit to go through those things and just get the tough yards when needed, and has great, absolutely incredible vision as a young man. And so, you know, for me, nice to have someone to lean on when the game gets deep into the fourth quarter, late third quarter. You know, running the ball in the playoffs has been proven to be effective, and we have a great O-line and a young man who's just absolutely special, and we're really privileged to be able to lean on him.
Well, and Coach, you guys were down early in this game too last week, right? Down 20-7 at the half, and to know you can still commit to running the football in the second half and come back in a fashion like that in a game like that, what did it tell you that you, I mean, when you can still feel like you're comfortably able to run the football despite being down multiple possessions at half, you can lean on a guy like JR who was able to do that for you guys?
For sure. I mean, you know, we went in and made some big halftime adjustments and to put our kids in a better position to go and play a ball game. And there was plenty of time on the clock. There was no need to, you know, anybody to panic or get away from what our identity is. And I think we leaned heavy on, okay, here's what we have to do. And obviously JR and our tight ends were a huge part of that. And then we know who our O-line is. We know what they're capable of doing. They can take over any ball game. And so, we knew that obviously it was going to be a bigger task at hand when you get yourself into a hole like that. But I think we were very confident about what we could do moving forward. So, you know, very, very proud of him for coming out and realizing the situation and what we had to do, and then understanding the adjustments. For a young man to come out there and be able to adapt to a game like that, that just shows, again, the maturity that a young man has and what a bright future ahead if those are the things that he's already battling as a sophomore, right? So
when Coach tells you, you know, JR, it's like the confidence and the belief and that they didn't need to go away from what they wanted to do in a game plan like that, despite being down 14 or down 13 at the half, you know, did that pump you up even more as a player at halftime to know, okay, all right, I'm not losing carries because we're going to try to change some things up. Like we're going to still do what the Broncos do in offense, and we believe in what we're doing here.
Well, I after the half, I knew our team still believed that we were still able to like be our identity and be able to come back and win this game. So yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, certainly. This is exciting you know, this season, you know, you guys have had obviously some runs here in terms of, you know, getting into track play, having some close games against some good teams. You know, you start out 5-0, so there has been a wide range of emotions through the season when you would have these crazy runs like this, right? Coach, how do you characterize this season, the way it's gone, you know, with all the winning streak to the losing streak to the win last week? You know, this team, you know, I feel like getting the win last week felt like a big momentum shift for the playoffs. Obviously, you take on a Buchanan team like that I think you would want to get a second chance at on Thursday tonight. You know, what does that tell you about the way the team's been able to navigate this season?
Yeah, I mean, we break down the season into three phases, right? There's the non-league phase, there's the track play, that's phase two, and then playoffs is phase three, and no one cares about phase one and phase two when phase three occurs. You know, it's 0-0 for everybody on the playing field and it's any given Friday or Thursday on how you play ball. And so we were encouraged, obviously, to pick up momentum and get back to maybe what fit our young men better as we move forward in the playoffs. The first 5 weeks, we were rolling and we had a lot of really good things. There were some things that really went our way. And then when we got into track play, you know, we had to make some adjustments and move things, pieces around. And we needed to really find our identity in the first few games in the track. And I think you saw as we inched closer to the end of the season, we really picked up steam on, okay, this is where this person needs to be, and this is how this schematic needs to go. And I think we're hitting the ground rolling exactly when you want to. And so while it doesn't feel good to be in some of those games where you're on the wrong side, finding out and picking up steam. We always talk about we're a plane taking off, right? We never want to go directly up and then fall back down, right? We want to gradually get to the peak. And so I feel we've kind of turned in that page and gone in that direction, and we're right where we want to be moving into playoffs here. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The way to just kind of describe it, like, you know, and JR, you probably feel like this as well. You know, this team is finding its potential here in the, you know, specifically in the last couple of weeks, right? You force overtime against Clovis West. People really have a lot to say about how good Clovis West has been this season and their capabilities, right? And that's a quality opponent. And then you go and get into another tough battle at Clovis East. You know, do you feel like this team the last couple of weeks isn't blinking at the tight moments, the high stress football moments that come in close games like those the last couple of weeks?
No, honestly, I think each week after every game, we just always improve on what to do. Like, each adjustment after every game, you know, Coach Hunter always telling us, like, what we could have done better, what we could have, you know, all such sort as that. So, yeah.
Yeah, certainly. Coach, how do you reflect that with the players and the way they reacted in those tight game situations? It's high school. Sometimes the lights can get a little bright, you know. Things can get squirrely in games. You know, how do you feel like the kids have been able to really react in those situations where, you know, every play starts to matter down the stretch?
100%. Yeah, I think we were set up in the non-league with a tight game against Redwood and a very tight ending versus Frontier,
yeah.
Which again, those are all really good character builders for when you need it the most. And then, you know, obviously at the end of track play, we get into those same things. And really it came down to honestly one factor for us, and we need to protect the football, right? And so that's going to be, you know, number one is if we can correct those mistakes, if we can make sure that we protect the ball, then we got a shot to play anybody. And so we believe that, our kids believe that, and so we're working on that to make sure that, you know, we do that in the playoffs, and then we put ourselves in a position to win a game. But being in those tight games, they matter, and they'll matter tremendously when you get into, you know, especially the top 8 teams, top 7 teams. Everyone's good in that upper league. So we're prepped, and we know what the task is at hand, and so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, you mentioned a game. We actually broadcasted that Frontier and Clovis North game, so I know that game very, very specifically. And the way that game played out, you know, teams could really see the ball rolling a different direction and be hard to stop, you know, in terms of that comeback from Frontier, you know. But the team responded with one drive you needed, and I felt like that was a turning point to show that this team, you know, can weather some sort of storm that is coming. In terms of that, I find that as your one, you know, it's an interesting description of how this team's been able to navigate the season, right? You mentioned, you know, in that game, it was up early. You guys are doing well. Suddenly things are starting to turn a little bit, but now you're shifting the momentum back. Do you feel like that's a epitome of your season, that Frontier game specifically?
I think that was a hallmark win for us, obviously, because I think Frontier is a really, really good football team. And I think it showed the capabilities and what this team's capable of doing. I mean, San Ramon Valley is another school that has a great football program, and another game that we dominated up front. And so I think those two games, as we look forward, is where are we now and where were we then, and then what do we need to do to get back into that position of how we played ball during that segment of time. And we searched for it a little bit early and didn't find it, obviously. But I think, again, sometimes some of those things take a little bit more time to figure out as you go along, especially when you're talking about high school football. And so we're right there. And yes, like for us, we know being able to weather the storm or play against opponents that have tremendous athletes, as Frontier does, is that we're right there with them. We know we can play. We know we can win those games. And so that belief and that experience is what I think is going to give us a great chance in the playoffs.
JR, I go to you. You know, is that game telling a lot about what this Clovis North team can be, where, like you said, you know, sometimes things can turn and you guys are able to respond to that? What do you specifically remember, the feelings in that Frontier game and the way the players, coaches can tell you all the things they can tell you, but the players got to have the actions to make the thing turn around for you guys. Do you specifically remember player-to-player conversations in games like that, where how do you guys yourselves get yourselves out of that hole a little bit and try to get you guys back in a different momentum state?
Yeah, 100%. Honestly, our like team captain, Michael Solis, he's really always trying to help us out during these tough games, always like, you know, trying to help out our defense during that last stop during that game. So yeah, he was just helping us out a lot with the speeches on the sideline, just telling us, hyping us up, amping them up on defense. So yeah, being able to like lock down that Frontier offense and be able to help our offense to score and just do many things on that field. So yeah.
Yeah, and you guys, you have players who played in some big playoff moments as well going into this playoff run for you guys, you know, specifically obviously your quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Lucas has been there before. How much confidence does it give you, the guy who's been playing in those kind of games before, who's known what the playoffs feel like, for guys who are coming into this first game tonight against Buchanan and hoping that a win is the end result?
It helps me out a lot. It just makes me more relaxed, comfortable, because I know most of our team has been through that, you know, position and like going into playoffs, just knowing what to do and, you know, just when to go home. So yeah, most of our team just knows like what's like the battle, you know.
Yeah, Coach, how much do you lean on guys like Tyree Sams and Lucas Smith, just to name a few guys, Brody Cruz, as guys who've been there in the playoffs, know what the playoffs feel like, and how much you're leaning on them in the game against Buchanan tonight? How much do you lean on that for you guys?
Well, I'd love to lean on Tyree Sams, but unfortunately he had a season-ending injury in week 7. Mm. So we will miss him. As a matter of fact, he has his signing day here at Clovis North today for Cal Berkeley. So we are so excited for him.
Congrats to him.
You mentioned the others, you know, Ramsey Ham, Brody Cruz, Lucas, but really our 31 seniors have been a part of that winning tradition, and a lot of those guys were brought up for that run that Clovis North had for a Valley Championship, and then went to De La Salle, and then the season before, obviously, with McKay and Stanfield and those guys. So, you know, they're very aware on how a playoff game and how to approach it without a coach or anyone telling them. So we're very fortunate to have a great handful of guys that have been there and done that, if you will. And so, you know, I always think experience is, you know, one of the most important things that you can have in a playoff game. guys that have been there, looking back at all the great teams I've had, every time we went into the playoffs, the guys with the experience were able to slow the game down. And so we're hoping that those guys can help some of the younger cats out. We're hoping that the older guys understand what's at stake and are able to, help some of the younger guys, what the standard is for a playoff game. Guys like JR that are sitting right next to you, they come in with such a demeanor that you don't really have to. He's such a mature young man. I'm not too worried about him. He'll do his thing. So, I'm excited about his ability. But the surrounding crew, I know he'll be able to lean on them and call on his brothers when he needs to.
JR, I want to ask, just in terms of following the footsteps of guys he mentioned, McKay and the Sinfels, and as a running back for Clovis North, it's become kind of like a position people look at. And how much did you look up to those guys? How much were they influences on maybe what you've observed from them as the way they carry themselves and the way you carry yourself now as the guy who toes the rock for Clovis North now?
Well, yeah, it's a huge task at hand, after in the last year, now having McKay Mattson and Sim Phils, just being able to, like last year, just go and watch the games, watch like what they do, what are they doing during the positions, during the games, and how do they set themselves different from other running backs during at the Central Valley.
Certainly, big influences for you, I'm sure. And I want to ask, how long have you been a running back predominantly for you as a player? How long was the love of the game for running back position for you? When did it start?
I started playing football when I was about fourth grade, third grade, and yeah. Ever since I touched the ball, I just always had a great feeling with holding the ball, being in the backfield, just able to read off their line. So yeah.
Yeah, inviting contact too. Yeah. Sometimes dad had to be, hey, hold on, chill out a little. Or no, I don't know. I don't know what the conversation. A lot of ice at home, I would bet, in terms after the games. But, coach, when did you first be introduced to JR as a player? When did you start knowing him on the radar and getting to know what he was capable of?
Well, I was a little bit of a late hire, obviously, so I didn't get the ball really rolling until about April here at North, getting on campus. From my previous school. And so, right away, obviously people, are able to talk to you and you're gauging all the different athletes that you have as you go through your rosters. And, right away, JR stood out as one of the players that we knew was going to be special. We just didn't know quite yet if he was ready to be a varsity player. And so he was with us all summer long, really all the way through fall camp. And, ironically, we knew he was going to be young, so we were thinking about, does he play varsity, does he not? And thank God for his mom, because that was one of the best decisions I ever made, was making sure he was up on varsity. And we got the ball rolling really, really quick. We realized how special he really was when we had our scrimmage. Once I saw him run the ball in our scrimmage, I said, okay, we've got ourselves a running back. We're going to be okay. So that was the aha moment, but we knew he was talented before, but, until the pads come on, until people are hitting and the mouthpieces are in and all that fun stuff, you really don't honestly know. But once we saw him in the scrimmage, I had no doubt in my mind he was going to be one of the great backs that I've had over the years. So.
Well, it's always good to get mom on board too, right, JR?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Dad as well.
Dad's on board, mom's on board, all that great stuff. All right, you got the game tonight at Buchanan. It was a 30-20 loss a few weeks ago. What needs to change tonight, Coach, for you guys to come out on top?
Yeah, I think, we fundamentally changed a lot of things with Sam's being out. And so we changed the offense and we played a little bit different on our defense. And so I think, getting back to our identity and what we're going to do. And then I also think that like any game, you need to play great defense in the playoffs in order to set your offense up for a win. And so I think our defense has a great calling on tonight. I think our offense will have some explosive plays as they have been. I think that JR will do a fantastic job, and I think our receivers will play a factor in it probably more than people think. I think everyone's going to look at is our two tight ends and how special they really are this evening. So, anyways, yeah, lots of factors. Buchanan has a good football team and great coaching staff, and so I'm sure it'll be another great game. And we're looking to make sure that we have the ball bounce our way.
Well, we look forward to it. A good game on a Thursday night to kick things off in terms of the Central Section playoffs, and the long road to potentially a Central Section championship begins tonight. JR, Coach, Colby Hunter, I appreciate you both for joining me, and I appreciate you guys for doing this. And congrats again, JR, on being Student Athlete of the Week. Congrats to you, and good luck in tonight's game against Buchanan.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on this show, you know, just be able to talk to you about our game tonight. So, yeah, just thank you so much for having me on this show and this opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach, as well.
Appreciate you guys. You guys have a good afternoon.
Yep, you too as well. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more show right next on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to J.R. Cruz and Colby Hunter of Clovis North Football for joining me in the last segment. If you want to go watch them play, they play tonight at 7 o'clock, I believe, over at Veterans Memorial Stadium on the campus of Buchanan. That game tonight at 7 o'clock. One of two high school playoff games tonight. We'll have plenty more tomorrow. Them, and then I believe it is Sanger West and Reedley tonight in a battle as well. So that's what is happening in the high school world. I wanted to touch base just real quick on some hockey talk. I don't get too often to talk about hockey in terms of this. But I'd be remiss to not point out what the Sharks have been doing the last couple of weeks so far in the season. And the season Macklin Celebrini is having has been one to stand out in terms of that right now. 21 goals on the year so far for the sophomore, centerman for the Sharks, who I believe right now certainly is still currently 19 years old of age right now. Tied with Connor McDavid for the most goals in the National Hockey League. And the Sharks are learning how to score. They are learning how to defend. They are improving as they go. You just want to pay attention to some of the scores. Of course, last night, 6-1 over Seattle last night after a couple days rest. Just want to point out some results the last few weeks in terms of where they've been able to find some victories. Of course, San Jose, pointing out basically since they went out in New York and won 6-5 in a crazy fashion in overtime. Of course, they go and drop a game the next time against New Jersey, but get an overtime win over Minnesota. A loss to L.A., but after that, beating the Devils at home, beating the Avalanche at home in overtime, and a shootout loss to the Red Wings, you pick up a point there. And 6-1 over the Kraken right now, the last six or seven games so far have yielded points for the Sharks. And now they face a situation where they will take on two of the best teams considered in hockey, at least from last year, in the Winnipeg Jets, who come into this matchup at 18 points right now in the Western Conference in the Central Division. They're the second team right now, just behind the Avalanche. And then after that, a game against Florida, where the Florida Panthers, who are the defending Stanley Cup champs, you surely feel like you could get the most out of them. Although Florida right now is in an abysmal position right now in the Atlantic Division, sitting in last place right now as we speak. So you could bury a team that's struggling right now on Saturday and beat a team that you could prove to say, hey, maybe we are better than we think in terms of where we are. And the Sharks currently have a really big weekend, I would say, in front of them to maybe introduce themselves into the conversation of,
Yeah, I think this team has the capability of playing in the playoffs, especially with the Pacific Division right now, where all eight teams are within 7 points of each other at the moment in the standings. And the Ducks are the team leading the way, and no offense to the Ducks. The Ducks aren't a team that was lighting it up last year, so why can't you see a team like the Sharks climb in the standings where things are vulnerable, things are open, the Knights aren't nearly, I would say, lighting it up in the world in terms of how they're playing. They just destroyed the Kraken, who are in third place. They beat the Kings, who are above them. We'll see where the Oilers contend in terms of it. They are sitting right there above them. The Canucks are easily attainable as well. All teams, that I said, the Sharks are currently four points behind in what has been a tight start to the NHL season. Sharks are learning to finish a game, and I think they showed it last night. The hope is that they can just kind of continue to ride this momentum and find more victories as they dig themselves out of what was a pretty early hole in terms of the start of the season, waiting for their first win after a while. We'll see if we can get Dan Rusinowski on to talk about this team, because they are playing very good hockey. And by the way, I just got my tickets for my first Sharks game that I'm going to go to this year. I'll be going November 23rd when my Boston Bruins come into town to take on the San Jose Sharks. So we'll see how that all plays out moving forward. Just wanted to touch on the Sharks just real quick. Their next game coming up on Friday. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got hour two next here at Fashion Furniture right here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still, the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
All right, hour number two of our show here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We're taking you up to Thursday night football between the Raiders and the Broncos tonight, starting at 5 o'clock from Denver. Good to be here. Good to be sending you to that as soon as we wrap up here. But we got one more hour till we bring it to you. A reminder, we're at Fashion Furniture. It's the Black Friday clearance event continuing at Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's. Fashion has hundreds of items of up to 70%, plus 100 dining room sets discounted for immediate delivery. Sleeper Treat Inside Fashion Furniture has closeout mattresses at 50% off and foundations at 50% off. Adjustable bases starting at $299 and free if you buy a Beautyrest black mattress, plus up to 24 months financing free as well. It's the Black Friday clearance event, which continues here at Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's. Nothing like it in all of California. Like we said, we're here for the next hour before we send it off to Thursday night football. I'm sorry, I get distracted here in the middle of the break because I'm being told by people, my friends, about this Bear Barista cup at Starbucks that is revolutionary. It is taking Jorge. You're the king of you're the king of viral content. Have you heard about this Starbucks Bear Barista cup that's been causing chaos over the United States?
Bear Barista? No, I haven't heard of it.
You haven't? I'm reading a headline here that Houston cops broke up a fight over a Starbucks Barista cup today. Have you seen the pictures of this thing? I gotta imagine you gotta apparently.
Oh, okay.
People are going crazy over this. These things going on eBay right now for like $600 for the people out there because of the stock is so limited on it. What are your thoughts?
The Barista cup. I just saw a picture and it says $180 for a 20 ounce cup. Bear Starbucks glass bear cup. I'm like, no, this is not. Yeah, not. I get it, but no.
my, fr- friends are losing it. I have a friend who works at Starbucks.
There's there's one with a they call it a Latin American hat.
Are you seeing that one? The Latin American glass chair bottle tumblers?
Yes.
With the quote Latin American hat, which has the sombrero on it, and there's like another one. I see the same picture you're probably looking at.
Yeah, there's another one with like a beanie.
Yeah, like a bear beanie in terms of, I don't know, it's so strange.
It's weird.
I'm quite surprised that that's what everybody wanted and not whatever the Hello Kitty stuff came out today, because let me tell you, my girlfriend.
The Hello Kitty stuff?
Yeah, there was a Hello Kitty drop today too with Starbucks. Oh, and boy. My girlfriend was begging for that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's basically Hello Kitty with a Starbucks apron.
Yeah.
I mean, the Starbucks cup looks like you just filled up a honey container.
Right?
Like, yeah, you just put a beanie on it, right? Like, why can't you just do that in terms of it, right? The coffee obsession that people have in this country is as big of an epidemic as others that I've seen. And I will not subscribe to the coffee craze. I am one who has been coffee-free for my entire life. I live a good life feeling that way. I feel like it's the one thing. People who drink coffee seems to bring a sort of pretentiousness to me about, oh, you don't, how do you survive? And I'm like, it's human nature to not have to need coffee. You just choose to do so.
Hey, Jorge, get Carter on the mic.
Jorge, I know you're an avid coffee drinker. You brew a cup every time you come into the office, but I appreciate you not being a pretentious coffee drinker like some other people that tend to always test me on that.
Oh, no, I'm poor. See, I don't have the money to go to Starbucks every day. I splurge once in a while, yes, but no, I get it from the office, you know.
Jorge, I swear, because we do have a thing of honey with a bear-shaped honey container in our kitchen. Jorge, I swear if I see you pouring coffee into that thing, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to film it. I'm going to post it for everybody to see. Get any ideas.
I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to hold on to the bottle, just telling nobody.
Are you going to try to sell a knockoff barista?
I'm gonna fill it up with coffee from here at the office and see who buys it.
See who buys it? Yeah. Apparently $600 for these things. I've been told that each store gets two of these to sell max, which it just sounds like a supply issue. Why is Starbucks coming out with something? They clearly know what they're doing here.
You would think they'd sell more.
Yeah.
It's part of their holiday special. Like, they have the Hello Kitty stuff and they have the bear stuff for the 2025 holiday thing.
I just don't understand. Just don't understand it. But anyways.
And the Hello Kitty stuff is actually like a cup and like a plushie and several like different Christmas themed Hello Kitty stuff.
Yeah. Do you see this crazy news about Antonio Brown, by the way?
Yeah, he got arrested again.
Arrested on attempted murder charge. Former NFL star Antonio Brown has been arrested on attempted murder charge stemming from a shooting after a celebrity boxing event in Miami. Police confirmed Thursday. Brown was in Dubai, taken into custody by U.S. Marshals in Dubai, and was flown to Essex County, New Jersey, where he is being held pending extradition. How do you say that word? Extradition to Miami. Says, quote, it's unclear why Brown was taken to New Jersey first or how long he's been in Dubai, although he posted several times on social media over the past few months from there. So arrest warrant from a May 16th shooting. Crazy stuff. And the fall from grace for Antonio Brown, if this is a true story, is pretty insane.
He had tweeted something out an hour ago, too. He said, handed over the keys to the socials and CTESPN to my team while I go through this fight for my innocence. Happy to showcase love and entertainment. All love and respect to everyone for the support. Hashtag free AB.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The guy, I don't know. Maybe he feels like he's the modern OJ. I don't know. In terms of it. Or, hey, what? Any thoughts on this whole situation? This is I remember Antonio Brown as being like one of the top. Like, I was thinking, man, this guy is going to be considered one of the greats of all time, but what a fall from grace from this guy in terms of it. It's just absolutely insane that this continues to turn this way.
I had three Antonio Brown jerseys.
Three?
I'm a Steelers fan.
That's right. What do you got, Jorge?
I'm just, you know, something happened after he got that huge concussion that left him out for like almost like half a season, you know. And I'm not like, you know, I don't want to make a theory or anything like that, but honestly, after that, he became a little bit different, and it's a pattern that's been seen in many people with CTE, you know, a downfall, can't think straight, bursts of violence and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm not saying he does have it. I'm not saying, you know, anything like that. But it's interesting that it happened right after that.
How about this? This is the most Antonio Brown sentence from this story. It was unclear from court documents whether Brown has an attorney. That is the most Antonio Brown part of this article I'm reading on ESPN out of anything in terms of it. So go figure in terms of that. Yeah, Antonio Brown. He could have been the man, dude. Did he win a Super Bowl? No, right?
No, he technically did. He won the
– Was he in 09?
He was in 09.
He was a rookie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he has a ring, but
– Because let's be honest. I think of, like, the Steelers always have, like, one or two great wide receivers all the time when it came through that Big Ben era. It was, like, Hines Ward for a while. Then it was San Antonio Holmes for a while. Then it became Antonio Brown for a while. And then – Nothing really. I mean, George Pickens, I thought, could be that guy. And then they decided to give him for a bag of peanuts
to
the Dallas Cowboys.
He was a locker room cancer, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather take what he has and turn to that. I don't know. All right. Hey, let's talk a little Fresno State before we go into our Bedotti Blitz for this week 10. Yes, week 10.
Flew by so fast.
Crazy. We're halfway through. Fresno State is, of course, working through the bye week, and we will see what kind of comes out of it in terms of how things are going. By the way, Fresno State, they're adding some big-time recruits to the side here. I've been keeping an eye on terms of some signings here. Fresno City, their long snapper, Ethan Rossetti, coming to Fresno State. I see that tweet come out as far as that's concerned. They had also a guy from, I was looking earlier on the Twitter timeline, kid from St. Louis area, I think came in and signed yesterday as well in terms of it. So Bulldogs are continuing to work, build from the ground up. Coach Entz talks about how this roster is shaped because they got all the seniors that are coming in this season that are going to go and leave this program and graduate. And then they've got really a minimal group of juniors right now on this roster and a bunch of sophomores, bunch of freshmen, and it's going to be a younger squad next year in terms of it, which on the one hand, you know, relying on talent that's younger certainly could open the door in terms of guys who could get poached from other organizations that are necessarily – looking to serve the money to guys who are going to have a few more years left when they get into next year. So I'm not saying it's a next year issue, but I'm saying a 2-year issue down the road is I think Fresno is going to have a lot to pay attention to when it comes to what the transfer portal will provide. And I do imagine Coach Entz is going to look for a few of those straggling seniors that come in and really affect things moving into it. But I'm curious in terms of the psychology of where this roster is and what the next three games prove. Obviously, I think the element we didn't talk about from this Boise win, not necessarily, we focused most solely on the storyline of Boise, beating Boise and the importance of it. But on the flip side, we haven't really touched on the importance of the bowl game and getting the bowl game and getting the opportunity to have another game moving into now this season where we are – in the college football landscape of where the transfer portal is no longer open when the bowl season starts and players are going to be committed either way or however you're going to police that in terms of it. And players are going to have that one portal window to focus and get ready to see if they're going to go somewhere else or if they want to let it go by. But I wonder how this bowl season is going to impact Fresno State, because now we know we have a game to prepare for in the middle of December. And I wonder how much this will challenge Entz in terms of what he knows moving forward while also honoring the guys that he has on the roster. I'll let you or Jorge pop in here
in response to what I just said. But how I got to imagine you guys feel great about the opportunity of the bowl game, and I wonder if we're not going to feel like what we felt like last year when we were in Boise and we were playing third and fourth stringers trying to beat Northern Illinois, as opposed to maybe actually having a unit that wants to win a trophy wherever it's going to be. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's good. I think that's what just college football needed in general, just to have one portal or like one window where everything happens at once rather than multiple, and like how players just can just drop out of bowl games, because I feel like that makes bowl games less exciting. Like, you watch this team play the entire season to go get a shot at least a bowl game, and you're like, half those players aren't even going to play now. Like, what's the point in that? I feel like those players should, and it's good that they're supposed to play bowl games now, and it showcases the team for the whole season.
Jorge, what do you think of the importance of the bowl, especially now? It's going to be a different world than from last year to this year. How do you feel like it's changing now that we have the bowl game guaranteed for the Bulldogs?
I think it's good. I think I probably mentioned it before, but you know, bowl games is a lot about your team. It says that, you know, you managed to do something, you know, to capture the, you know, a different sense of where your team is at, and it gives you something to look forward to at the end of the season. You might not make the title of your conference, but you definitely then, you know, you're still together after the conference is over. Yeah, and you have a title to play for, and it's a different team, a different experience for all these players. And I think a lot of them, you know, they spend a week somewhere, and like in Hawaii or even in New Mexico, learning about the culture there. And it's a little bit about, you know, you're with your friends, and you always want to win the ball game, right? You always want to play for something else rather than just, you know, the regular stuff.
Have you guys seen bowl projections lately? I saw one where three different places had us going to one bowl. The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, anyone?
What?
Anyone down?
Yeah, that's the one that replaced the New Mexico Bowl.
The Barstool.
Right? The Barstool.
It used to be the Barstool.
Okay.
Bowl in terms of that. I'm looking at a college football news projection. LA Bowl has San Diego State and Arizona. Checking on some other.
Is there any way we could make the Pop-Tart Bowl?
No chance, the Pop-Tart Bowl, Jorge, unless you think we have ability to move to the ACC and the SEC. I think that's who's combined into that. Maybe it's the Big 12, actually.
I want to go there.
Because last year was, I want to say, Iowa State versus...
It's like Miami. I think it was Miami was in it in terms of that. We got the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl is another one I'm seeing here, where we would play Texas State. Just no more New Mexico, please. I'm done with New Mexico. We've been to New Mexico way too many times. Two of the last three times we've been to New Mexico, right?
I think so.
Is that correct, Jorge? My memory serving me
right? Yeah, but we won. I feel like the only
we got too many of those pots.
I feel like the only ones we don't win is when we go to Hawaii.
I want a different kind of pot.
I'm trying to see.
Keep it PG now. Keep it PG.
Maybe.
I just made Jorge so nervous.
Send us a Sun Bowl.
Yeah, hey, the sun, blaze it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to do our Benatti Blitz next. I thought I almost got away with it there. We'll do the Benatti Blitz next, predicting the games of Week 10 next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
Let the good times roll. Let them knock you around.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here at 1430 ESPN Fresno, Valley's local sports leader. All right, folks, we are putting our prognostication hats on. We are picking the games for Week 10
It is week 10. Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Before we get into it, Grocery Outlet is part of that Tailgate Ready contest. If you would like to win two tickets and $100 to your tailgate for the next upcoming Fresno State home game, be sure to sign up today at Grocery Outlet in the Northwest location, downtown location, Southeast location, and Sanger and Kerman. Go to Grocery Outlet today, win a pair of tickets and $100 to your tailgate experience. A couple of games left on the season, so a couple more opportunities for you to win big this season. Get tailgate ready with Grocery Outlet. All right, Jorge, you got the music? Ah, yes. Benatti Blitz here on a Thursday. Yes, we haven't done this one. Usually do it on Friday, but we're here Thursday. We're not going to start with Thursday night. I'm going to save that in the next segment. So we start with the game in Berlin. Guten Tag. Duncan Shane. And I don't know many others.
I didn't even know that.
We got a game in Berlin. It's the Falcons at the Colts in Germany. Colts are a 6.5-point favorite at home, quote-unquote. Counts as a home game for them. It'll be the fifth regular season game played in Germany, the first one ever in Berlin this season. And the Colts, who, you know, bouncing back potential for sure against this Falcons team when the Steelers beat them pretty good, pretty soundly. Colts kind of came back to earth in terms of that offense. I do think I trust that they can be able to bounce back in a game like this on the road, especially right before their bye week. On the flip side, the Falcons, who I think Drake London had one of his best games ever as an Atlanta Falcon last week, and still the kicking woes continue to confound the Atlanta Falcons through this game. The Colts are going to be better offensively, and with their acquisition of Sauce Gardner, I think maybe there is a chance that they could see a really good competition between him and Drake London. We will see if the price was worth it. I will go Colts in a win on the road in Germany. Go to Daniel next, and then Jorge.
I honestly think, I say look for the Falcons for the upset this weekend. I think the Falcons are just a better prepared team. I think because the Colts are, they got beat good for once, and I feel like they're really focused on a bounce back. But I feel like the Falcons are just more well-rounded. And like I said Tuesday, that stat with Kyle Pitts' best game was an international game. So.
Okay. Jorge, what do you got?
I don't feel it. I think the Colts are going to win it. Falcons, they're not that great. The Colts have been working a lot harder. They lost the last game, but I feel they might have been taking a little time off. I don't know. It didn't feel like the Colts as they had the last few weeks, but definitely this week is going to be a little bit different. It's an overseas game, so it's always different. It's always a little bit harder for both teams, you know, just to adapt to, you know, the time difference and where they're going to play, especially the field. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a weird game. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to wake up at 6:30. So,
yeah.
Good luck. I'm going with the Colts.
Yeah. Only thing to look out for maybe in the Falcons' favor, their pass rush. A little bit better than people think. A little better than they give it credit for. Next up, Giants at Bears in Chicago. The Bears, 3.5-point favorites against this New York Giants team. Bears, very good at running the football this year. Second in the NFL with 144-plus per game. And the takeaways certainly can be a big aspect of it as well. Jackson Dart, not the best in terms of protecting the football. And this Giants team has some struggles in terms of where they're going to find their offense generated through it. Is their defense going to step up in the second level? Can their linebacker core, who's been pretty rough throughout this season, stop a Bears running attack that has been very good this season? The Bears, I don't buy them as a team that's a contender, but I buy them as a team that is capable of being this Giants team. Can't believe I'm saying this. I think the Bears will win on Sunday in a weird, wild kind of game.
Hey Phil, I just remember you saying it's okay for the Bears as long as their fans don't start thinking about playoffs.
Exactly.
But I think I'll take the Bears here too. I think the rushing game will be too much for the Giants to handle, especially with the fact that, you know, no more Scadaboo, no more Neighbors. that offense is very depleted, and they can't. There's not much Jackson Dart can do by himself. So I say give me the Bears.
Good pick. Jorge, what do you got?
The Giants can't stop anything on the run. They can't stop nothing whatsoever. But if if the Bears don't get to it, they're gonna have a hard time doing anything against that Giants defense except for running. So I think this is gonna be a lot closer game than everybody thinks. The Bears have won games that you think they had it lost, but for whatever reason it falls in their favor. I think though, these Giants are gonna pull it off somehow, some way. They're gonna pull it off, so I'm going Giants.
Next up, Bills at Dolphins. Bills 9.5-point favorites on the road in Miami. I think the Bills, everything indicates that they have solved some of their issues defensively. They really are able to bottle up Kansas City in a good way in that game last week. However, you are what you are if at some point some team presents an opportunity for you to face off, I think, against the plus part of their offense, which to me, Devon Achane is a plus player and a good runner. Be warned. I think this Dolphins team can run on this Bills team. You could get into a game script where it's close late, despite what the records tell you. I do think Buffalo wins, but I think it's closer than people think.
I agree. I think the Dolphins, just it being a division game makes it a lot closer than I think people will make it think. Because for just division games in general, these are for like the Dolphins. This is like one of their mini Super Bowls. They want to take down the top dog in the division. So it'll definitely be a lot closer than people will think, but I'll still take the Bills as well.
Jorge, what do you got?
Most of the times, the northern teams don't do well in the south. You know, I think that the Bills are going to struggle a little bit, but the Dolphins are imploding. They have nothing. They're fighting each other. They're talking smack. You know, they asked Tua if he was fighting for his career every game or something like that, and that was go look up what he said, but the Dolphins have nothing, so I'm going Bills.
Next up, we got Ravens at Vikings in Minnesota. Ravens 4.5-point favorite on the road. Ravens have really shorted up on the defensive side. Last few games, it's been 13 points per game, only tied for second in the NFL right now with the Chiefs and the Rams. In terms of best teams on defense in the last 3 weeks, it was nightmare stuff for the Ravens lately in terms of it. But let's be fair, I think the Ravens haven't really played high-caliber offense yet. I'm not calling the Vikings a high-caliber offense, but they did really show me something last week when they beat Detroit in Detroit. I cannot underestimate how that could affect the way the Vikings play this season. Their defense is a plus defense as well. I don't know if I was totally convinced in how well Baltimore played on offense in a pseudo long week on Thursday night against the Dolphins. I think there's an upset potential here, especially in the home of Minnesota. I think the Vikings do knock off the Baltimore Ravens in this week, and that's one of my big upsets to pick.
I like the way you think, Phil, because I completely agree. I have a feeling that this Ravens offense is going to rely a lot on Lamar again this week, and I think that Vikings defense is going to stop Lamar. I don't. They're going to make him pass more, and I feel like just him having to pass more is not going to go great. I'm not saying he's going to throw interceptions, but it's definitely just not. The offense won't be as productive as him just running the ball down. So give me the Vikings.
There you go, Jorge.
Two teams that we expected a lot more from at the beginning of the season. They managed to be still in the game. They could still both make the playoffs. But I feel like the Vikings are just slightly better than the Ravens. And I think that they just have a lot better weapons than the Ravens, even though that Lamar is back. But I think the Vikings defense is better than the Ravens offense.
Wow, we're all on the Vikings. That's bodes horribly for us. Well, we'll see how it goes. Next up, Browns at Jets. Don't need to really speak much to about this one. The Jets have really punted away their season with the amount of talent that's out from their defensive side, although I wouldn't say it much matters against the Browns team that is, I would say, struggling to move the ball. Both teams coming off the bye, so there's no bye advantage there. Browns are 2.5-point favorite. I just think the Browns have a better defense, and they have that guy Myles Garrett on that side. So I'd imagine it's going to cause a lot of havoc with Justin Fields and company. So I'll go Browns at Jets. I'll pick the Browns over the Jets this week.
You know, I'll take the Jets. I mean, I see this as a tank bowl, but I think Jets 10-7 win it.
Oh, gosh, Jets over. All right, Jorge, what do you got?
Listen to what I'm about to say. This is going to be the best game. The best game of the weekend.
I'm telling you.
They both want to win. The Jets gave away their team this week, and or their best weapons anyways. But the Browns, you know, they went out and got a baseball guy to come and show them how to play football. So, I don't know. I feel like this is they both are going to go out there and play one of the best games of their lives. Just watch.
Yeah.
But I'm going Jets. No, actually, you know what? Yeah, I'm going Jets.
You're going Jets. All right. I'm the only one on the Browns. Patriots and Buccaneers. Buccaneers, 2.5-point favorite. The Patriots are tied for the longest win streak in the National Football League this year with the Broncos. Patriots come in looking to continue to prove that they are a team that is just capable of winning football games when they need to. Of course, the caliber of opponent has not been there for the Patriots the last 4 weeks, but don't get in mind, they showed up and beat the Bills in a big-time matchup as well. Patriots have not allowed an opposing running back to rush for 50 yards this season, only team to do so in the NFL in the first 9 games since 1950. How about that statistic for you? The Buccaneers do not have their starting running back potentially. Bucky Irving might be out for another week, so it's going to be Rashad White and company. I think that's going to be important to seeing if the Patriots can bottle up Baker in this offense and the way they're going to go. Obviously no Mike Evans. And the Bucs, you know, for all how good Baker has been, this is a team that is sometimes when they get into a situation where they can't do exactly what they want to do, example with the Lions game, they can get frustrated. I think the Patriots are going to find the way to make big plays. They do feel like they're going to miss Kayshon Boutte if he cannot go in this game. But outside of that, Patriots have been humming this way. This could be a signature win. I got to ride with my team, and the statistics tell me as well. Go Patriots beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Is Igbuka playing this weekend?
Or we'll see. We'll see. I think he should be.
As much as I like him, I think it just gives Baker one weapon to actually throw to, but I still have the Patriots with Drake May. I'm calling this right now, Drake May 300-yard game.
Wow.
3 touchdowns.
Okay. All right.
I want that. I'm calling.
I guess that defense. Okay.
I said this Tuesday. This is the game for MVP.
Jorge, what do you got?
I said it before. The northern teams have a hard time playing in Florida specifically. So let's go. I'm gonna go with the Buccaneers, but just because they're different, I feel like their defense is a little bit better than the Patriots' offense. But it's gonna be a good game. It's definitely gonna be a tough game. Yeah, I'm going Buccaneers.
Here's another stat for you. Drake May has 5 games this year with the 75% completion percentage, 2 touchdowns. You know who had the most in a single season in NFL history? It was Tom Brady with 8. Drake May already has 5 halfway through this season. Get out of here with that nonsense. All right. Next up, Saints at Panthers in Carolina. The Panthers, 5.5-point favorite. Looking to get up to 2 games above 500 if they get a win today or on Sunday. I don't see any difference. Rico Dowdle, a little questionable to go in terms of this, but he's been phenomenal for this Carolina Panthers team. They have had a reinvigorated run game. Tet McMillan's been a fantastic number one. And this defense found something against this Green Bay Packers side, limiting them to what was 13 points, an impressive matchup. Give me the Cardiac Cats. They're not going to make things hard for their fans this week. They will beat the Saints soundly this week.
All aboard the Bryce Young train. I got the Carolina Panthers, too. Not much to say. It's the Saints.
Yeah. Jorge, what do you got?
I'm going with the Panthers. I mean, Panthers playoff team, question mark?
I said it. That was one of my bold takes in the beginning of the year.
5-4.
6-4 if they win.
I mean, they're playing a lonely Saints team, so, yeah, go Panthers.
Next up. Jags at Texans. The Texans, 1.5-point favorite, but I don't think they're going to have their starting quarterback. Sounds like C.J. Stroud will be out for this game as Davis Mills will play. So What will that bode well for Jacksonville? Certainly on opportunistic defense that has found ways to create turnovers on that side of the ball. Jags need to just be average in the offensive realm, and I think they will find ways to win, even though this Texans defense is a top-tier defense. It's low scoring going to be in Houston. It's going to be frustrating, but I just don't see how Davis Mills can lead a team to victory. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars to win on the road against Houston.
You know what? I don't think Davis Mills did terrible taking over that game, but I agree with you. It's going to be a low-scoring game, but I want to take the Texans here. I think that defense will take get a couple scores. I think maybe a fumble recovery touchdown.
38.5 the over-under, by the way, in that game. Oh, that's as slow as I've ever seen it.
But yeah, I'll take the Texans.
All right, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, I think the Texans – both teams play the Niners – and the Texans beat them by more, so I'm going to go Texans. That's my logic. That's how I'm going to do it.
Sound logic. Next up, Cardinals at Seahawks. Jacoby Brissett comes into Seattle and taking on Sam Darnold, who's MVP candidate, anyone? Some people would say in it. Sam Darnold has had three of the top four highest QBRs in a game this season. He is having an absolute lighted-up kind of game season for the Seahawks, including Jackson Smith and Jigba, and the way he plays. This is a more capable, potent offense than what the Cardinals faced, I think, last week against Dallas, who underperformed. Cardinals are a decent team. I've said it. I think they are a decent team with the way they have kept themselves competitive in a lot of games, but I just don't think they have the juice. Seattle is a Super Bowl favorite. Seattle will win this game on Sunday.
You know, I never thought I'd see the world where Cooper Kupp is a wide receiver three, but I think the Seahawks offense is the best in the league. And as close as the Cardinals have kept games, I still think this game is going to be close. But I have the Seahawks over the Cardinals.
That's right, adding Rashid Shaheed. That's a good call.
I don't see no way of the Cardinals winning this game. Seahawks are too strong. They're one of the best teams in the league, so I'm going to go Seahawks.
Next up, Rams and Niners. The Rams, 3.5-point favorites in Santa Clara. The Niners, of course, beating the Rams last time these two teams played. Matthew Stafford playing out of his mind. 21 touchdown passes through the two picks this year. I think the Rams have some tape and ability to show that they can improve on what they did offensively and defensively in that last matchup on Thursday night. Sounds like Mac Jones will still go, and I would say this Niners team has had the inability to continue to be consistent week by week. It's a win, and then a loss, and then a win, and then a loss. They just won last week. I don't know if they can put together two wins in a row. This game means a lot in terms of both standings and where these teams are projected to go. Rams need this win because they got some big boys coming in terms of the next couple of games. So I'd imagine the Rams are going to come out firing. The Rams are going to find ways to move the football down the field. Devontae Adams has been a monster this season as well, even despite how old he is. No offense to him. Puka should be healthy. Give me the Rams to beat the 49ers on Sunday.
I agree. I think the Rams are just going to be hungry for this one. I think they'll be more hungry than the Niners because just the way that first game went, you know, I really think just that game was one play away from being a difference. So I just feel like the Rams like have something against that and are going to be hungry for this one. So give me the Rams.
I know where Jorge's going.
Well, I'm going Rams.
Nagging your team.
Nah. No, the Niners are going to have this game. It's not going to be an easy game. It's going to be a tough game, a battle just like last time. The only reason why there's a little bit of difference, that we're going to be at home just like last time. And it's going to be good. I think the Niners are going to have it by three.
Well, what happened last time, Jorge? The Rams beat you guys up there. But it was raining, so I guess it's different. It's not going to be raining this weekend. All right, I digress. Anyways, finally, Lions and Commanders in Washington. I don't need to spend much on this game. Lions are 9.5-point favorites. It's Marcus Mariota playing quarterback for the Commanders. It's a lost season for Washington. Lions, they really got to look at themselves if they don't win this game. I expect the Lions to roll in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, give me the Lions by like at least 15 because there's no way I see the Commanders taking them. And if they do, then call the Lions season quits at this point.
Yeah, I feel like the Commanders, I mean, they lost their quarterback, so They have Mariota. The Lions are coming in from a loss, unexpected loss. So, you know, they're gonna come back and they're gonna want some retribution. So, too bad the Commanders are the team that's coming up next. So, the Lions are gonna get the win here, and yeah.
And finally, Sunday Night Football: Steelers and Chargers on Sunday. Chargers 3.5-point favorite at home in SoFi against Aaron Rodgers and crew. You know, the Steelers impressive, right, with the way they did and dismantled that Indianapolis Colts team, forcing the turnovers that they did versus what I think is going to be an interesting matchup between can the Chargers find any semblance of a run game against a Steelers defense that I think actually bucked up against this run game a little bit better. I think they really contained Jonathan Taylor for as much as Jonathan Taylor's been fantastic this year. Will the Chargers avoid turnovers that led to a Pittsburgh win? Pittsburgh, I feel like, no offense to the luck side of things, I feel like Pittsburgh's been gifted turnovers left and right this season in terms of the luck ability to it. But I will give the credit where credit's due. Does Pittsburgh win on the road? Does Rodgers go on the road and beat this Chargers team? I think they do. I will pick Pittsburgh to beat the LA Chargers this week.
You already know what I'm going to say. Give me my team. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers. But from what I've seen, there's this stat going around that every time the Chargers and Steelers play, it's gone back and forth, back and forth. Last time who won this matchup? The Steelers. So everything says the Chargers to win. But I think it all comes down to if the Chargers can exploit the Pittsburgh secondary and if Pittsburgh can withhold the run game. But give me the Steelers.
Round us out, Jorge.
Gotta go with the Chargers here. They're at home. I you know, Rodgers is struggling in LA whenever he goes down there, so I feel like the Steelers they have a shot, but it's I don't think their defense is good enough to stop the Chargers offense. I'm going to go Chargers.
Good call, Jorge. There you go. All right, and that is your Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Jorge, send us to break. When we come back, we'll take a look at Raiders-Broncos next and close out the show on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. It is the wrap of our show here, and we're getting to the end of it. Just a reminder on our schedule for the next couple of days. Of course, Raiders, Broncos coming up momentarily, 5 o'clock. We have Friday Night Lights tomorrow, 6:30 pregame with a 7 p.m. kickoff between Kingsburg and Dinuba. Which means we got to get to Dinuba, which means I'm going to have my show for just an hour tomorrow, 3 to 4 p.m. Sportsline Bulldog with Tony D from 2 to 3 before that. We'll have Sharks and Jets on Friday on 790. We'll have Sharks and Panthers on Saturday on 790. Paul Metters will have his show 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday on 1430 Central Valley Sports Report. Lakers and Hawks will be later in the day, 4:45 pregame with a 5 p.m. tip there. And then Sunday, we'll just have the Niners and Rams. 1:25 kickoff between both teams. If you want to listen to the Niners broadcast on 1430, that's where it'll be. If you want to listen to the Rams broadcast, it'll be over on 790. And then we'll have Sunday Night Football with Steelers and Chargers, 5 p.m. on Sunday on 1430. Back to Monday Night Football between the Eagles and the Packers coming up on Monday. That'll be 5 p.m. as well. All right, let's take a look at our daily spread brought to you by Chuchancy. Daily spread. We got to pick that game.
Yeah. The Eagles-Packers game. We didn't even pick that one.
Yeah, we save it for Monday.
Okay.
In the Benatti Blitz. So, yeah, we save it for the Monday because we go through the week there. So.
I did not know that.
That's exactly what I do.
Now I know.
Now we do. Daily spread brought to you by Chuchancy Gold Resort and Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your teams, go up to the mountain. Try your luck at Chuchancy Gold Resort and Casino. Raiders, 9.5-point dogs on the road against the Denver Broncos. I'm inclined to say this game could be closer than people think, just in the basis that
the Broncos don't seem to blow out teams.
Yeah.
I outside of what they did against Dallas, the Broncos play with their fluid a lot. You saw what they did with Houston. They saw what they did with the New York Jets. You saw them week one when they played the Titans, mm-hmm. and it was a close game. I don't trust the Broncos to cover in a game like this. I trust the Broncos to win in a game like this, and I just don't know what the Raiders have to show on offense. Maybe they unlock some stuff. They're not going to have Jakobi Meyers. As they traded away to Jacksonville, so some of the younger guys are going to come in and play wide receiver for this Raiders side, but I just don't know what help is there for Geno Smith to do the things of avoiding interceptions, avoiding turnovers, and I just think the Raiders are destined to finish in the bottom side of this AFC with the unit they had. They clearly sold at the deadline, and it's just a matter of Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty and hope you have enough to try to win a football game. Is there a world they win tonight? I think there is. I think there's a script there. But I'm more inclined to pick the Broncos tonight just as a safer pick. I feel like they win. I don't think they cover, but I think they win by 7. What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I think the Broncos will win, but I don't think they'll cover either just because, like, I feel like the Broncos, like, almost, like, make it look like they want to be blown out. And then they want to come back every time.
Yeah.
I don't see this team covering, but I give it maybe like 6-point win.
Okay. 6-point win for the Broncos. Jorge, what is your vibe in tonight's game between the Broncos and the Raiders?
Is this in Vegas?
It's in Denver.
Denver. You know, these are divisional games. So, yeah. I feel like they're always a lot harder than just a regular game.
Especially, they're closer.
Yeah, they're closer. They're you know, difficult to play just because they're, you know, you see them twice a year, and there's a lot of history between these two teams, a lot of history. So, I don't know. I still think the Broncos will win this, but like you said, it's going to be a lot closer. I'm going to say the Broncos win it by 3.
Broncos win by 3. Wow, field goal game for the Broncos. You know, I don't know where you go with the Raiders side other than you just hope you kind of get to that point where you can pick a quarterback next year. I don't know really in college football what quarterbacks are out there for anybody to pick.
But yeah, we're getting a good QB class. So.
You would like to think so, mm-hmm. but I feel like the quarterback class in college has failed to deliver in the sense of the word. We'll see.
Yeah, I feel like the next class.
Let's hope Arch does it.
There's a big sophomore class that might go out next year instead of this year.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Because we know if Arch commits, the Raiders are taking him.
He's not committing anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
That's a different conversation for a whole other day. And we're at 10 seconds left before we got to say goodbye to the show.
I'm just saying that front office.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, Daniel. Appreciate it, Jorge. Good show by y'all today.
Great show.
And
great show.
We'll be back at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Thursday Night Football coming up next. Raiders Broncos. We'll see you tomorrow.